We're grateful that each one of you is here this morning. I've met several visitors from out of town and some of you from in town who've come especially to be with your families today. And we just want each one of you to know how thankful we are that you're here. Today is a special day in many ways. I think it's a special day in that it's the Lord's Day. We have a special day every week in that sense. But it's a special day for our young folks, especially our graduating seniors from high school. At the end of the service this morning, we will recognize them and give each of them a Bible, as we've been practicing now for several years. They have events in their life tonight and tomorrow night, and we're just grateful for them. I believe this year we have 14 who are graduating from high school. And, of course, as also indicated in our prayer this morning, today is a day that is designated on our calendar as Mother's Day. It's right for us to honor our parents all the time, but I'm thankful that there is a special day set aside that we can pause just a moment and think about our mothers, what they mean to us, how important they are as far as our families are concerned, as far as all phases of life, for that matter, are concerned. I talked to my mother yesterday. I hope to talk to her later today again. I'm thankful to tell you that both Dad and Mother seemingly are beginning to make a little bit of progress. You know that they've had illness and still have problems, but we're thankful for some progress, and I just wanted to mention that to you. I hope that if you have not talked to your mother yet today, that you will. If you don't see her personally, call her by phone and let her know how much you appreciate her. Many of us that are in the audience today have already lost Mother in death, but thank God for the memories that you have, and maybe take a little longer today to consider those memories and think about what Mother has meant to you personally and to your family. The flowers that are in front of me here today were placed here by Sister Pearl Griffin, and she said this morning, wish you just mentioned that they are in honor of all mothers. Certainly our mothers deserve to be honored. Back several weeks ago, I saw a statement that caught my attention. It said parents should be the sole support of children. And that word soul was spelled S-O-U-L. I decided when I saw that I was going to use that for a lesson, and I decided that Mother's Day would be an excellent time to use that. Now, there is a sense, of course, in which parents ought to be the sole support, S-O-L-E, support of children, because parents are to lay up for the children, 2 Corinthians 12:14. One who will not provide for his own is denied the faith and is worse than an infidel, 1 Timothy 5:8. But the word soul in this statement to which I refer was spelled S-O-U-L. And the idea was that parents have more to do than anybody else with determining whether or not their sons and daughters grow up to be Christians. And I realize that we as fathers are very important. In the last little while, a lot has happened in this nation to point out the need of having a father in each family, but I think we can truthfully say that especially as far as the soul support, S-O-U-L support, that if anything, mother may be even a bit more important. That's partially true because, generally speaking, mother has a bit more time to spend with the son or daughter than does the father. And also the qualities that the mother has and the talents that she has equips her to be able to encourage and share with a child, especially a young child, it seems to me, a bit better than most of us that are fathers. We need to stop and think about how our mothers can be the sole support, the effect that they have on whether or not the sons and daughters grow up to be Christians and to live for God. I want to just think with you for a few minutes this morning about some ideas that mothers especially need to consider. And as they do, we fathers also need to consider them. Every mother needs to have the right attitude toward the child in order to be the sole support and to support that child, spiritually speaking. Psalms 127 says, "Children are an heritage of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is His reward." There are not many things on this earth that are more important to us than our children, perhaps our own souls. We allow ourselves sometimes to become so involved in gaining things, in seeking after money and material things, that we maybe do not appreciate how valuable a child is. A child is a blessing from God. A child is one of the greatest blessings that any one of us could have. When we're blessed to have a child in the family that's entrusted to us for a period of time, a period that is shorter than we would even dare to think in those early years, we need to realize how valuable that child is. And especially our mothers need to have the right attitude toward that child that's brought into existence. It's also important for a parent to have the right kind of goal as far as the son or daughter is concerned. If we're not careful, we tend to think about the career of a child more than we do the soul of a child. We begin to think very early in life about saving money so that the child can go to college. And yet sometimes do not put forth that much effort to think about the Bible study class and worship and whether or not the child is there and is prepared in the way that he needs to be prepared. If we're not careful, we will allow ourselves to spend more time concerned about childhood diseases and the protection from them than we will the way the devil can take a child away from God and trying to protect against that. One of our greatest needs is to have mothers who have their priorities straight and who realize, along with all these other responsibilities that we've mentioned, that the one thing that's more important than anything else is whether or not that son or daughter grows up to serve God. Bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That was said especially to fathers in Ephesians 6. But certainly our mothers need to understand that principle too. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. I've heard a lot of discussion on that verse, and I'm not for sure that I understand all that's said in it till this day. But I am convinced of one thing for sure, that if you train a child in those early years, that he can never get old enough to forget that training. He can never get away from that training. He may go astray in his life. He may make mistakes. But I have seen cases, and you have too, where a person in the older years of life came back to God basically because of that training that had been instilled by a godly mother back in those early years of life. So we need mothers who have the right attitude toward children and realize the priorities that are involved and how short the time is. It doesn't seem but just a few days ago that Judy and I had 4 children in the home, 4 teenagers at once, and now they're not there. To those of you who are carrying babies in your arms this morning and leading the smaller ones by your side, it may seem that some of the days are long, but when you pass through those first 18 or 20 years and look back, it will seem that the entire time was short. And we need to be sure that we have our priorities straight. If mothers are going to be the sole support of children and help them to grow up to be godly men and women, they're going to need to set the right kind of example. I have said many times, and I firmly believe it, that what is done by parents before their children will have more effect than any sermon that can be preached by any preacher from this pulpit or anywhere else. Don't let your children grow up and leave home without having seen you read the Bible and heard you pray. You remember that song, "If I Could Hear My Mother Pray Again"? Whoever wrote that evidently had a mother that prayed. And after she was gone, he thought if he could just hear her pray again, how much that meant. But just think about how much that memory meant. Some of you, no doubt, whose mothers have passed on to the eternity, have the Bible that mother used and read for so long. And you could close your eyes today, and even those of us who do not have the Bible could close our eyes and see mother sitting there at home with the Bible in her lap. Some of you may be as far back when she was sitting by the open fire with very little light, reading from God's Word. If there's ever anything that fits into that song of precious memories, such is the case. And a son or daughter, even in later years, who can think back and remember mother reading the Bible and dad praying, and remember words of kindness that were passed around in the home, and remember the morality and the principles of morality that were used by dad and mother, are going to be adults that will have a chance in life and a chance in eternity to live with God. The story is told that there was a certain son back in ages ago when there was a war going on who was in the armed forces. And his mother told him, just as he left to leave and go to a foreign country, and some of the last words that she said to him, "Son, I want you to always remember that your dad and I will be praying for you every night at 6 o'clock when we sit down to eat supper." He said throughout the years that he was gone, some three or four of them, if I remember correctly, that there were many times he was tempted to go astray and do things that he shouldn't do. Many times his buddies would say, "Come on and go into town with us and let's do this or that." And he said somehow or other it seemed that most of the big temptations came about 5 or 6 o'clock at night. And every time there in his mind he would remember, he could just sort of in his mind's picture remember his mother saying, "Son, we'll be praying for you at 6 o'clock every evening." And he said that one thing kept me out of more trouble and helped me to stay faithful to my family and to my God than anything else. All the examples that are set by mothers in service to others, if a son or daughter grows up in a home and sees a mother who's always doing something for someone else and maybe even will take him or the child with her to help someone else, think of the example that she's setting and the training that she's giving under those circumstances. Train that child. There's nothing else that's going to take the place of it. And we need to appreciate the example. Remember when Paul talked to Timothy about his mother and his grandmother, he said, "Timothy, I see in you the same kind of pure faith that I saw in your mother Eunice and your grandmother Lois." You know, if you'll stop and think about it, you and I don't know much about those two ladies. I don't know how old they were when they died. I don't know how long they lived. I don't even know anything about exactly the kind of work that they did or how they went about their work. Basically, all we know is that Paul said, you saw the right example in your mother and in your grandmother. There is the indication and the teaching that part of this was in the teaching of God's word to Timothy from a child up. But we see basically the example of a Christian woman. And look at the effect that it had on Timothy. When Paul was talking about a young man that he would like to claim for his own son, it was Timothy. Where did Timothy learn that? What caused Timothy to be what he was? I believe more than anything else, particularly in his case, because his father was not a Christian, that it was a godly mother. Setting the right kind of example is the sole support for a child. And then there is the need for discipline. And yes, discipline is something that needs to be administered by mother as well as by father. Discipline is something that is to be administered by parents. And that discipline is described in Ephesians 6 and verse 4 as bringing them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. The word nurture there suggests the idea of punishment when needed, and the word admonition suggests the idea of encouragement when needed. It's not easy to strike the proper balance between these two. Sometimes there are those who go too far with the nurture part and become child abusers. And sometimes there are those who go too far in the area of just saying we'll encourage and never use any other kind of discipline, and I believe become child abusers also, not physically maybe, but in other ways. We're told throughout the book of Proverbs particularly that the right kind of discipline is to be used, and there's one verse that even mentions the mother. "The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame." That suggests that the mother is involved even in the use of the rod and reproof to correct a child. But let's hasten just as quickly to emphasize the other side of discipline that's involved in admonition and encouragement. Companion passage to Ephesians 6:4 is Colossians 3:21. And that says, "Provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged." If you really stop and think about what's being said there, it points out how much encouragement is needed. And folks, we live at a time now when even our teachers are being taught not to give the little child a hug when the child is hurting because of the threat of suits of harassment. If there's ever been a time when a child needs a mother's hug, it's right now. there's ever been a time when a child needs someone to whom he can turn when he's hurting and have an encouraging word and someone who cares and will cry with him and laugh with him and just do anything with him to help him to realize how important it is, it's right now. And I don't know that there's anybody that can do a better job of that than mother. I don't say that to excuse those of us who are fathers. We have the same admonition given to us, and we need to be just as concerned. But there's just something about a mother's touch that's different from anything else. And one of the things that's going to help our young folks grow up to appreciate God for who He is and to serve Christ for who He is to have mothers who will be the sole support. In other words, they will give them what is necessary to help them develop spiritually with balanced discipline in the home. The right attitude, the right example, the right approach to discipline. And all of this, folks, needs to be begun at an early age and continued for a long time. I think the secret to this is beginning early. I appreciate you younger mothers who bring your babies to Bible study and worship just as soon as it is physically possible for you to do so. I believe you're saying something to yourself and to others when you do that. To be sure that your little son or daughter is in that first Bible class just as soon as he can sit in that little jumper chair. Before he can ever say anything, he can hear something. And he begins to hear those songs about Jesus. And he begins to have imprinted in his mind the idea of Jesus and God and the Bible, even before he can utter a word that means anything. There's where it starts. And then this idea of train up suggests to me that it continues as long as possible. Don't quit too soon. As long as a son or daughter is at home, there's still room for training. The approach may change as one gets a little older, but the love for that soul doesn't change. And even after they have left home, we never lose interest. We may not be in control as we were at one point in the teaching process, but we never lose interest. And every mother is going to continue as long as that son or daughter lives, or as long as she lives, as the case may be, to always be there to show her concern and to teach if necessary and to be there to help, and behind the scenes to pray and pray and pray for the soul of that son or that daughter. Yes, I really believe mothers are the sole support of children, and that no one has more influence on whether or not that younger one will turn out to be a fine Christian servant than mother. Thank God for our mothers. May God bless each one of them. May God bless those of us that are fathers, that we as fathers and mothers may work together in the teamwork that God has given us. And may He somehow or other help us to keep our priorities straight, to keep things in proper focus, and to realize how important the soul of that child really is. You know, we're talking about giving honor to our parents, especially to our mothers. I say to you this morning, there's nothing in the world that you can do that will give more honor to your dad or mother and at the same time to your Father in heaven than being a Christian. As we extend the invitation in just a moment, as we usually do at the end of a sermon, an invitation that's always open as long as there is life, I want you to just stop and think about how important it is for you to have your soul right in the sight of God. That's what your mothers and fathers have been praying for. They want you to be right with God. They want you to live for God. I think that's pretty well true across the board. Even though there may be disagreement sometimes in what's involved in living for God, I believe that there is pretty well agreement with any of those that you and I would know that they want their sons and daughters to live in such a way as to give glory to God. The best way to do that is just to be a Christian. If you need to be baptized into Christ, if you need to come back home, come as together we stand and sing.
Softly and tenderly Jesus is calling for you and for me. See on the portals He's waiting and watching for you and and for me.